Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Before you leave today, we have a Christmas gift to you. I say we. I'm going to take credit for it. But really, Sophie Flynn has these candy canes that she was going to give away this morning to all the kids. But there's plenty for those of us gathered here. So before you leave, grab one of these. This is her Christmas gift to you. So thank you very much, Sophie, for this delightful. I think they're cherry flavored candy canes. Delightful. Luke, our storyteller who wrote both Luke and Acts, gives us perhaps the premier account of the birth of Jesus. We know Matthew shares a little bit, and then Luke shares some. I love Luke's account. We're going to pick it up in Luke chapter 2. And here's how it reads. These words will be familiar to a lot of you. But let's listen to them again and see what they tell us. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David. It was about a four-day journey if you're traveling well. Now, we know Joseph was traveling with another person, so he might have slowed him down just a little bit, but it's a good-sized trip. Because he belonged to the house and line of David, he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to him in marriage and was expecting a child. That adds a twist to the Christmas story, doesn't it? While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, because I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." Great joy for all people. This is the season of joy. Are you needing some this season? Let's pray. And then we're going to walk through this story, see it with fresh eyes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good news that brought great joy to all people, and that includes us this morning. So we pray that wherever we're at in our joy journey, that you will stir it fresh in us as we hear the story again. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if we go back to that little town of Bethlehem, and it was a little town, the prophet Micah said that it's a town that's so small that it really doesn't even deserve to be mentioned among some of the other tribal cities. But there was no evidence that there was any Christmas joy as our family entered that dusty little town. Remember, it was hardly a Hallmark moment, so there were no Christmas trees, there were no carols being sung by happy townspeople in the town square. There were no twinkly lights strewn across the streets of Bethlehem welcoming the travelers to this town. Instead, there were soldiers and government officials checking documentation, checking their paperwork, and then asking them to fill out a bunch of other paperwork. So you found a lot of irritated and weary travelers grudgingly obeying a command that they bitterly opposed. Tired, dusty, irritated, yes. Joyful? No. I think about Joseph. Joseph is taking time away from work. That's stressful. His intention, given the customs and the culture, it's highly likely that Joseph was planning to be staying with family. That can be stressful. And he's showing up with a visibly pregnant fiance. That can be stressful. He gets there, and of course, the house is overcrowded with relatives who are there for exactly the same reason he is. The guest rooms are already claimed, they say. But his cousin takes one look at Mary's bulging belly and says, yeah, you're going to have to stay over there. Over there, as Joseph looks, is a corner of the room a little lower than the rest, the archaeology suggests, strewn with hay, indicating that this is where they would have brought the animals in on a cold night to keep them warm. It's a stable. And Joseph, whose tensions are already to the breaking point, when he sees the dishonor and disservice to his fiancée, Mary, I can't imagine that his blood just didn't begin to boil and threaten to spill over. And then he feels a hand on his arm, and he looks down, and Mary says, it's all right. It's good. Let's be thankful for a stable. Do you really want to be crowded up with your family? I'm very happy with the stable. Joseph takes a deep breath. Says, okay, a stable it is. Anxious, disappointed, trying to make the very best of a bad situation. Yeah, that describes Joseph. Joyful? I don't know. Not yet. Then out on the hillside, the scripture says there were shepherds living out there, living outside. We don't even have their name. They're completely anonymous. We've got Joseph, we've got Mary, we've got even the angel has a name, Gabriel. Of course, we know the name that Jesus is going to be called. But the shepherds, no one knows who they are. They're anonymous. They're anonymous shepherds on an anonymous hill in a know-nothing town in a little no-account country. Who notices them? No one certainly notices the work they're doing. It's both hard and boring. Have you ever had a job like that? It's hard because sheep seem determined to hurt themselves. And it's boring because it's the same routine every day. You find water, you find some shade, you find some grazing. Boring and hard. They're not even his sheep. He's just hired to watch these sheep. And so if one of them gets hurt, loss of income for the sheep owners. He could lose his job. But again, who's going to care or notice? He's an anonymous shepherd on an anonymous hill outside a small little dusty town. Feeling insignificant, unappreciated, tired of sheep, maybe tired of life. Yeah, that probably describes our shepherd. Joyful, I don't know. I don't think so. Oh, back at the stable. It's a boy. Congratulations. What are you going to call him? We're going to call him Yeshua. Ah, Yeshua, good name, good name. God is our salvation. We could use some salvation these days. They swaddled him, and Mary held him for a little bit, but then gave him to Joseph, who laid him in a manger. Mary closed her eyes and rested, and Joseph let out a deep sigh, and his shoulders relaxed, and he closed his eyes too, exhausted. Out in the fields, most of the sheep were sleeping as well, and our shepherd closes his eyes, but almost immediately opens them again because he senses something. You ever been asleep and you sense someone right there? It's freaky. He was freaked out. In front of him was a person, maybe? No, it's an angel. And the angel says, don't be afraid. Suddenly he wasn't afraid. Okay, this makes sense, I guess. The others are slowly waking up as well, sensing the same thing. And the angel says to all of them, I bring you good news that will cause great joy. Good news, great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, the one that you have been waiting for 1,000 years. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Then suddenly, a blinding and terrifying light, and then 1,000 angels surrounded them. And for a moment, our shepherd thinks, this is the end of the world. This is it. God is destroying the world, and he started right here with us. And then they begin to sing. Have you guys ever heard soldiers sing? A battalion of soldiers singing is an amazing thing. These were angelic soldiers, a battalion of them, singing this song. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. And then as suddenly as they came, the angels were gone, and the sky is dark again. The shepherds look at each other, and our shepherd says, I'm going. Who's with me? And they take off running. And just like the angel said, that's how they found Jesus. They found him in a feed trough, a manger, with mother resting and Papa very gingerly letting the shepherds pass the baby around. And our shepherd swears that when he held the infant, the baby smiled at him. A special smile that seemed to confirm the words that the angels had just sang about. A Savior born to him. A baby changes everything. Last night we had a young baby in our group whose mother did not know she was pregnant. And the baby surprised the family and their 2 teenage children. And now there's a little baby. A baby changes everything, doesn't it? I think about the relatives who just a few hours ago were treating Mary and Joseph with sort of a cold shoulder, but now I imagine they're falling over themselves, trying to provide additional warm blankets and some food for the family, all because of a baby. Joseph looks at Mary, and that baby in her arms, and then he begins to notice and feel something happening inside of him. And suddenly the stable and the dirty hay and the taxes and the soldiers and the long journey and his business problems and his family problems and all the other frustrations just seem incredibly unimportant and something he hasn't felt for almost 9 months wells up in his heart. He starts to feel joy. Have you been there? Can you identify with Joseph? Joy to the world. I love that song. It's my favorite Christmas song. In those little notes, dun, 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 is wrapped up a proclamation that announces the kingdom of God among us and in us and flowing through us. Joy to the world. Good news, great joy. I was reading from a Catholic priest, and he said, this is the witness of the Spirit of Jesus in us, joy. Joy is the witness of the Spirit of Jesus in us. He's absolutely right. That is the evidence that we are filled with the Spirit of Jesus when we experience and live out joy. The Old Testament prophet Habakkuk, one of my favorites, knew about joy. And in the last passage of the book he wrote, he says this, I will joy in the God of my salvation, Yeshua. The Hebrew word for joy suggests leaping and dancing. And if I were in better shape, I would demonstrate what that looks like. But you'll just have to imagine that kind of joy. But what brings that kind of joy to you? Is it your stuff? You're going to get some stuff today? And maybe that stuff will bring you some joy? I hope it does. Maybe it's experiences. I love new experiences. They bring me joy. Maybe it's your friends and your family. I hope your friends and family bring you so much joy this season. But what happens when all those things are gone? Because that's the situation Habakkuk was in. There was an invading army that was just threatening to destroy everything. And Habakkuk looked around and he goes, I know this. Here's what he writes in verse 17. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stall, what he is describing here is economic failure. Everything is gone. Everything wiped out. And yet, in verse 18, he says this, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Yeshua. Habakkuk understood that he could be stripped of everything. He could endure everything. And his joy, because it was in the right place, would still be there. He understood that forever joy comes from a forever God, the God of our salvation, Yeshua. Jesus is the reason this season is joyous. Good news brings great joy. Do you need some great joy today? So here's three things that I think will help us if you're struggling in the joy arena. The first thing is simply to give thanks. This is a command of God. This is God's will for you that you give thanks in all circumstances. That's what 1 Thessalonians says. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So wherever you find yourself, give thanks. Even if you find yourself on the floor of a stable. Rob and Becky Muncy are here today. They planned on being with their daughter, who they've not seen for 4 years. Their intention was to be there today and not here, but they're here. Today, this is their stable. Very disappointed, but thankful. I think of Roger up in the hospital in Bloomington. He wants to be here, but he's not. He's got his own stable. Stables are those places of uncertainty, those places of definitely not ideal places, but that's where we find Jesus, isn't it? Last night we had a couple of families here who were reeling from loss. And I think about families that we're very close to who have experienced loss. They're experiencing grief. Very often our stables are those places where we would rather be anywhere else but there. And the manger is just right across from a coffin. I don't know where your stable is this morning, but here's the deal. Even in our stable, Jesus says, I can be found there. So be thankful for your stable, wherever it is. Give thanks. Because Jesus can show up where we least and when we least expect it, even in stables. The second thing is to draw near. Be thankful and draw near. James says this, come near to God and he will come near to you. It's a beautiful promise. A beautiful promise. There's some security in anonymity, isn't there? Like those shepherds on the hillside. After all, if I let you get close, then you might hurt me or I might hurt you. There's risk in being fully known, but there's also joy. Joy in knowing someone knows you and knowing someone. Today you may feel like that anonymous shepherd on that random hill outside an obscure village. No one knows your name, and you're honestly a little happy about that. You're very comfortable remaining anonymous, but But God wants to know you. God wants you to know him. He says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. That's the whole message behind the name of Jesus, Emmanuel. So like the shepherds, we want to run to Jesus. When we run to him, we find him. The beautiful thing is that when we find ourselves near to Jesus, we experience joy. This is the promise of Psalm 16. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. Give thanks, draw near, and finally, treasure these things. Luke's account of the birth of Jesus ends with a very simple line. In Luke chapter 2, verse 19, Luke writes this, Mary treasured up all these things. So she pondered them in her heart. She treasured all these things. It's a very interesting phrase. Treasuring something implies that you're guarding it very closely, something that's precious, guarding it from harm. I wonder what Mary treasured exactly. Did she treasure that moment when the angel Gabriel said that she was highly favored and was going to give birth to God's son? I imagine she treasured that thing up in her heart. I believe with all confidence that she treasured the fact that Joseph chose her against the gossip of the community. I think she treasured Joseph's love. I think she treasured the story the shepherds brought to the stable about the angels. Surely she treasured that. And of course she treasured that baby in her arms, Jesus, her future Savior, her present Savior. But I wonder if she treasured the difficult parts too. We all have them, don't we? She had difficult parts. She had that long journey. She had the dirty stable she was in. She had the gossip from the community. She had her disbelieving and difficult relatives. She had Joseph's stress response. We have people like that in our lives, don't we? The thing is, the difficult parts of our journey can distract us from joy. It's easy to let the cares and the anxieties of this world distract us, rob us from the joy that the King promises to those who are in his kingdom. That kingdom is described as a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. Those troubles can distract us from that. But the wise learn, and I think we're all on this journey, I think the wise learn that the difficult parts of our journey are on the same path that leads to joy. And when we learn that the difficult parts are part of the journey to joy, then like Habakkuk, we can look around and say, yes, life is hard, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Yeshua, God of my salvation. So give thanks, draw near, and treasure all these things. We've welcomed good news and we've received great joy. Unto us is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord, who told his disciples this in John 15:11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. That's the promise that we have when we accept Jesus. Have you embraced him as your Savior? If you handed him all your mistakes and your failures, your anxieties and fears, your frustrations, your stresses, and simply said, Lord, here I am. Take me, be the Savior unto me. Babies change everything. This baby changed everything. He didn't remain a baby. We know that, don't we? That baby grew up and he took your shame and your blame and died for you in your place and opened the way for you to experience not just the temporary joy of this season, but eternal joy. Joy that lasts forever. So today, if you have not said yes to Jesus, would you consider doing that? We've heard good news, Jesus, and we have received good news. Jesus. Today, as we prepare for communion, we're going to do our last Advent reading of the season. We've done this last couple of weeks, and we've had some readings from Scripture and then some responses. So this is going to be our communion meditation, to remind ourselves of those prophecies of old, that those shepherds and Joseph and Mary knew deep in their hearts, and that baby was the culmination of. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. In him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. A Savior has been born to us. He is the Messiah, Christ the Lord. Heavenly Father, this morning as we share in this time of communion, these elements remind us of the very earthly nature of your incarnation. You became flesh, and that blood reminds us. The bread reminds us of that. The cup reminds us that flesh was broken and poured out for us. A covenant that you made between heaven and earth. A reminder of that peace and goodwill that the angels sing about. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice. We give thanks in your name. Amen.
Thank you for watching this message from Sherwood Oaks Christian Church. Did you know you can view any message from the past 6 years at socc.org/messages? You can also view complete worship services from the past month at socc.tv.